Acts 13. Whew. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. Whew. Wow. Acts 13, 1 through 3. It says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod, and the Tetrarch, and Saul. As," here it is, this is what I want you to get, "as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to.' Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away." Today, I want to talk about something very important. This is an extremely important topic that many Christians don't often think about. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about overcoming distractions. Last week, I talked about the distraction of self. And this week, the Holy Spirit has given me a message, which is the next step in pursuing the deeper things of the kingdom of God. How many want the deeper things of the kingdom of God? Amen. Pursuing the deeper things of the kingdom of God and a powerful outpouring and move of the Holy Spirit in our life personally and corporately in our midst. You can feel it starting, amen? I'm so excited. Oh, my. Once we have dealt with and overcome the distractions in our life as Christians, the next most important step is this, and this is what I'm going to talk about today. Are you ready? Ministering to the Lord. We need to minister to the Lord. The title of my message today is simply this: ministering to the Lord. Many Christians have no idea what it means to minister to the Lord, and they certainly don't know the benefits of doing it. Ministering to the Lord is a major key to spiritual breakthrough in your life. Let me give you a little hint. What we were doing here in praise and worship today was ministering to the Lord. Oh, my. Spiritual breakthroughs happen, listen to me, on purpose and not by accident. It happens because there is a pursuing. It happens because there's a pressing in into that goal, into that focus. We are asking, seeking, and knocking. Amen? Spiritual breakthrough, say it with me, happen on purpose. Yes. Now, here we go. So we're talking about ministering to the Lord. The word minister is defined as this: to attend to the needs of someone. To attend to the needs of someone. You are putting, when you minister to someone, you are putting someone else's desires and needs, come on, above your own desires and needs. You are ministering to, or you are serving that person. We have mastered the activity of ministering to and serving, come on, ourselves. We have done pretty well on ministering to people around us, but the Holy Spirit said this: but you have minored in truly ministering to the Lord. Think about it. Now, that's not a rebuke. He's just trying to get our attention with it. Amen? He wants us to know and be aware of what this thing is. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me as I was praying and studying this week. He said, your first responsibility is to minister to the Lord before you minister to any other person, even yourself. Amen? Oh, this is good. I got 10 and a half pages of pure gold up here from the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to catch my breath as well. I'm telling you, it got toasty in here, right? Like I'm breathing in the cloud. Hallelujah. So, and the Holy Spirit went on to say, he said, ministering to the Lord will position and equip you, come on, to minister to people effectively. You first must minister to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord means to seek and to please him first. to put God's desire and his will before our own or even before anyone else. Amen? Just like you minister to another person, what are you doing when you're ministering to them? You're focusing on them. You're putting them first before yourself. Is that not true, right? You're focused on them. Well, ministering to the Lord is focused solely on God's heart and his satisfaction, his pleasure. Amen? According to this passage I just read in Acts 13, it said certain prophets and teachers were ministering to the Lord. They were ministering to the Lord corporately. Say corporately. And out of that, out of them ministering to the Lord corporately, it said the Holy Spirit gave them an instruction to send out Barnabas and Saul. Those individuals were praying and seeking the Lord. They were waiting for instruction from the Holy Spirit for the work of the ministry. Some of you are saying, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in ministry. I don't know. My thing is this. When's the last time you ministered to the Lord privately? When's the last time? You see, when you minister to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will speak. Do you hear what I just said? If they weren't ministering to the Lord, focusing on him, seeking him, the instructions from the Holy Spirit would have never come. Did you just hear what I said? If they weren't, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit illuminated that they were ministering to the Lord and what? Fasting. Fasting was for them, not for the Lord. Fasting made them more spiritually in tune to hear the voice. But it was the ministering to the Lord that caused the Holy Spirit to speak to them. They were seeking the Lord for his plan, his will, and the Holy Spirit revealed that next course of action for them, and it came by, listen, ready? A prophetic word. Say prophetic word. So again, some might be saying, man, I wish I heard that clearly from the Holy Spirit. I wish I got a prophetic word for direction. And again, my question to you is this. When was the last time that you truly ministered to the Lord in prayer? When was the last time and how often do you set time aside just to get into the Word of God, just to get into prayer, just to praise and worship him privately and not in a corporate setting, right? Corporate setting's amazing. Corporate anointing's good. But the private time, there's a lot more private time than there is in the 2 hours that we meet on a Sunday. So you must make an on-purpose effort to spend time in the presence of God. It's all about making him the focus, the priority. Ready? Making him the prize. It all comes down to this, and I've been talking about this recently. It's all about making the Lord and putting value on him in your life. Say value. If there's no value, you're not going to spend time with him. Right? I was ministering to the Lord privately. Some of you have seen it on Facebook, my post this week. I was ministering to the Lord privately in the sanctuary this week. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, give me direction. Give me clear direction. I don't want to be directionless, right? And almost immediately, my phone dinged with a message from a Facebook friend and who was almost 2,000 miles away. And this person gave a prophetic word and answered exactly what I was asking the Lord for at that moment. Don't tell me God's not listening to you. Come on. Don't tell me he doesn't reward those who diligently seek him and minister to him. I mean, this was not chance. This was literally an answer almost immediately. So to minister to the Lord effectively with your whole heart, you must value his presence. You must value his written word. You must value his desires, his will. You must value, ready for this? Because God is a person, right? He has a mind, will, and emotions. He is a person. Here's what you got to value as well. This is what the Holy Spirit said. Ready? You must value his feelings. Because it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's possible to please him. Amen? We must put value on his feelings, on God's feelings. You must put value on everything that God values. Now, here's the key to ministering to the Lord effectively. Ready? If I had to break it down with one key, I would say this. This is the key to ministering to the Lord effectively. You must delight yourself in the Lord. You must delight yourself in the Lord. That's what God desires, not just to tolerate him. How many of you know sometimes we just, at times, because we're so focused on self, we tolerate him, right? No. Not just tolerate him. Nobody, listen to me, not even you guys, you don't even just want to be tolerated, do you? How does that make you feel if you're not, how does that make you feel if you're just tolerated and not celebrated and not valued? No different. The same dynamics in our relationship with each other is the same with God, because he's a person. We're made in his image. Amen. Psalm 37:4 tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord. And then it goes on to say, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delighting yourself in the Lord is the starting point to truly minister to the Lord. Let me say that again. Delighting yourself in the Lord has to be the very starting point. If you don't delight in him, you won't be able to minister to the Lord effectively. You're wasting your time. If you don't delight yourself in everything connected to the Lord, you will not be able to properly minister to the Lord. Now, when ministering to the Lord properly, you're not going into it with your own agenda for what you can get from him, your little wish list, I'm going to say, right? You're simply going into it because you love his presence. You love his holiness. You love spending time with him. Your motives are pure. Amen? That's why he created us in the first place. Really, ministering to the Lord is going back to the original plan of what God had for us in creating us for fellowship with him. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants you, come on, to minister to him. God knows your heart. He knows if your motive is to give or to take when you approach him. Did you just hear what I said? He knows your motive. He knows when you approach him, he knows, are you in a given mood or are you in a taking mood? He knows if your motives are pure or not. I wrote this down, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Are you ready? He knows if you're self-seeking or God-seeking. He knows if you're self-seeking or God-seeking. I can be totally honest with you. Every time I go to pray now and come into here even, it's like I just want to fellowship with him. I just want to be in his presence. I mean, it's like I don't even want anything. I just want his presence. I want to know him more. That's it. And it's ushering in a glory into our midst. Ministering to the Lord takes a commitment of time and effort. It isn't just a short, flippant prayer. You ready for this? This is the word that the Holy Spirit gave to me. This was interesting. It's a lingering. Say lingering. Oh, lingering. Do you know what I mean by that? Lingering means this. It means staying in a place longer than necessary. If you want to tap into the glory of God in your life, into his presence, and to know him more, you got to stay, come on, longer than necessary. You got to linger in his presence. That's why I'll stick in here for 5-6 hours just praying in tongues, worshiping him, singing to him. I mean, it's so rich. There's definitely something happening. We're going to another level. I know I am personally. And as the pastor, I want to take you guys up to that level with me. Amen? You can tell if someone enjoys your company because they'll want to, come on, linger to be around you. They'll stay longer than what's necessary. They don't want to leave your presence. They love your presence. They're lingering. If someone doesn't want to be around you, that can be very obvious as well too, can it? They can't wait to get away from your presence, right? God is looking for Christians that enjoy lingering in his presence. Lingering will manifest a breakthrough and an outpouring from the Holy Spirit. Those that linger with no impure, selfish motive, he will give those Christians the desires of their heart. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the Holy Spirit said this. He said, you know what's diligent? I said, what, Lord? He said this, lingering is being diligent. Lingering in my presence. Lingering in prayer. You know, for there to be a breakthrough, there has to be pressure. If I just hold my hand on this, this thing ain't going anywhere. But if I put pressure against it, if I put more pressure than's needed, it's going to move something. We need to linger a little bit longer. Say, just a little bit longer. Go to Luke chapter 10. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Luke 10. You know, when you experience his glory, his presence like this, it's like all the churchy stuff just kind of gets thrown out the window, right? Church as usual. Now it's like, wow, now it's relationship. Now it's his presence. Now it's like, well, truly, Psalm 16:11 is true. In your presence is fullness of joy and life evermore. That's what God wants you to get to the place to. But it takes, come on, a lingering, ministering to him. Luke 10. 38 through 42. And it says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was, underline it, distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. This account, the Holy Spirit, I said, Lord, what scriptures do you want me to bring up? And he immediately, Mary and Martha. Say Mary and Martha. Let me ask you a very important spiritual question. Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Mary recognized, I feel the Holy Ghost like waves coming on me right now. Mary recognized the divine appointment of Jesus coming into the house, and she put value on Jesus. She dropped everything she was doing and sat at his feet. Come on. She lingered in the presence of Jesus and very carefully paid attention to every word. She hung on every word that Jesus was speaking. I feel like I'm getting ready to get rocketed up into the heavens right now. It says, Martha was distracted with much serving. Wow, listen to me. And it's very easy, even for pastors. Some Christians try to keep so busy with ministry that they miss the entire point of even existing. First and foremost, we were created to minister to the Lord. Get back right to the beginning. There are some that are totally focused on and distracted with ministry. You feel burned out. I was at that place. I mean, when all this warfare was going on in the church, I was feeling burned out. I'm going to be honest with you. Hello? You maybe didn't notice it because my messages are always Holy Ghost fire, but I was really feeling the heaviness of a lot of that warfare going on. You feel burned out. You feel like there's no traction in your ministry. And many people, this is where many people go wrong in ministry. They try to find their identity in ministering to others. It's time to drop and to stop everything you're doing in ministry and stop being distracted in your life and simply do this. Get back to the feet of Jesus. Get back to the feet of Jesus like Mary did. That is where you'll find your true God-given identity, ministering to the Lord. You were first and foremost to created to fellowship with your Creator. So you need to get back into that fellowship with Him. Jesus rebuked Martha, and He put His stamp of approval on Mary's actions. And listen to this, the outpouring that's coming to this church, to this region, it will not, listen to me very closely, it will not be ushered in by the busyness and distracted Martha's doing ministry. No, it's going to be ushered in by Mary's that are willing to sit at the feet of Jesus to connect with His heart and to first and foremost minister with Him. We'll hear that all the time. Pastor James, why aren't we doing this outreach? Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't we doing all this? Why are we doing this? Because I want to sit at the feet of Jesus and get His heart on everything. Because that's where revival's going to start. We must get back to the place of intimacy with God in our life. Now I can see why the Lord had me teach two messages about distractions before teaching about ministering to Him. Because it all ties in together. Isn't the Holy Spirit amazing? We must clear our schedule and make Him our priority, or we will constantly live in negative emotions and have lack of direction and purpose in our life. You're not going to find it in ministry. Why? Because you weren't created to minister to people. Oh, come on, somebody. You were created to minister to Him first. Now, He'll use you to minister to people, but get Him right first before you minister to people. Amen? If you feel that way in your life right now, you have not been ministering. If you feel that burnout, if you feel you have not been ministering to the Lord with your whole heart, you will feel you would feel fulfilled. You would feel a peace. You would feel a joy in your life. And if you don't got it there, it's time to go back to the feet of Jesus. Amen. All of the Marthas need to follow Mary's example of lingering and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha was focused on the carnal. Mary was focused on the spiritual. Are you hearing me? Martha was focused on the carnal, all the problems, all the distractions, all the ministry. But Mary had it right. She focused on the spiritual aspect. Listen to this. The upper room prayer meeting is an example, ready, of lingering, of waiting patiently and diligently pressing into prayer. And those people were rewarded with a supernatural encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to me over in Big Rapids back in 2007, May 3rd, 2007 at 12:03 a.m. 10 days of pressing in. 10 days of pressing in with others corporately. 10 days in a breakthrough. It was an upper room experience. I heard that sound of a rushing mighty wind of angels' wings going over. I seen the cherubim like lightning moving all over in the dark sanctuary. I seen gold dust. I mean, this is where we're heading. That's why I'm saying, look, I'm not just some idiot off the street. I've been there. I've experienced breakthrough, and I want to take you there. I know what it takes to break through. Amen? Back then, I had no idea. All I knew is I had a drive and a desire, and I just knew there was more. There was more than this natural realm. There's more. Lord, give me more. And I just kept pressing in, and I broke through into the spirit realm. I've been there. I know what it takes, and I want more of that, and I want to take you all with me. Amen? Go to Acts 2. That's not a prideful thing. That's why God put me into the ministry. That's why He gave me the experience to take His people deeper. Amen? Acts 2:1-4. But anybody can experience that. All it takes is ministering to the Lord and lingering, pressing in. Amen? Look at this. Acts 2:1-4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I heard that in Big Rapids. I heard that. I know exactly what that's talking about. The Bible came alive to me. Here's exactly what I did. Let me real quick. here's what happened, how I started to get stirred up for more. I would read the word, and all of a sudden, I'm reading it, and I'm like, Lord, this is great. I love reading about it, but I want to experience it for myself. I want to experience your power, your glory. I want to experience your anointing in a mighty way. So that's how it started out. So as you read the word, get hungry to experience it in your own life. That's where it starts. If you don't even have that, there's nothing Pastor James can do to help you, to take you there. You got to have that. A sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the people, it says, were all in one accord in one place. So here's the thing you got to understand. This is the upper room experience. It was a corporate gathering, but it was each person individually ministering to the Lord. Are you following me? It was a corporate gathering, but each person was ministering to the Lord personally in that place. They were praying. They were praising and worshiping him. They were probably doing faith-filled confessions, right? There was an excitement. There was an expectation. These 120 people were locked in. They were willing to linger. Say linger. Some of y'all just listened to the Cranberry song on the inside of you, Linger. Remember that one from the 90s? These 120 people were locked in. They were willing to linger until the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place. Ministering to the Lord takes a heart that is truly spiritually hungry for more of God, a heart that yearns and is thirsty for more intimacy with him, for more of his presence, more fellowship with him. And I'm going to be honest with you right now, and I'm just saying this in general in the body of Christ. Ready? Here's what I'm going to say. Very few Christians are at that level of commitment and spiritual hunger that needs to be present for a spiritual breakthrough. Are you following me? There are very few that have that kind of commitment to linger. They get bored. They get distracted. They move on to something else. We're so used to fast food, right? I want it now. Oh, if it doesn't happen now, gotta go. My time is. No. Slow down and linger. Press in. Put some pressure. Put some pressure into it. Amen. Very few are willing to linger at the feet of Jesus, especially it can happen in a corporate setting for what is required for a spiritual breakthrough. Now, listen to me. I'm going to give some instructions about this third and fourth watch prayer. Say, I'm listening. The third and fourth watch prayer meetings are going to be modeled after the upper room prayer meeting. Everyone, listen to me, we're going to be corporately in this place, in the building, whatever. Everyone will be in this place, but everyone will be on their own, praising and seeking the Lord with their own in their own way. I want everyone to minister to the Lord individually. But again, we're doing it in a corporate one accord setting. That's what it means, one accord. It's like a harmony. Everyone's calling out to God, right? Just like in an orchestra, everyone's playing their own instrument and it comes in harmony. That's what we're going to do in this upper room prayer on the third and fourth watch. Now, soaking prayer, say soaking prayer. Soaking prayer is more of a meditative time of prayer. It's a more internal kind of prayer. It's soaking in the presence of God. It's more laid back. It's quiet time, right? Upper room kind of a prayer is very verbal. It's very expressive in prayer, praise and worship. Now, you can come in here. I'm not saying you have to do somersaults or be louder than I'm not saying that. All I'm saying, just press in on your own. That's all I'm saying. Just press in on your own. I'm not telling you to do somersaults in here and all that. If you do, whatever. It's midnight to 6 a.m. I guess you could do them, right? But but listen, upper room kind of prayer is very verbal. It's expressive prayer, praise and worship, verbally confessing the word of God, faith-filled confessions, all right? But here's both kinds of prayer meetings have one thing in common. both kinds of prayer meetings, whether it's the verbal, it's loud, the other one where it's quiet, meditative, both things have one thing in common. What do you think that is? You're ministering to the Lord on both of them. You're ministering to the Lord. And she didn't see my sermon, so she didn't have unfair advantage there. They are both ministering to the Lord. Ready? Listen to me. Both of those types of prayer meetings are ministering to the Lord. Ready? You got to hear it. Not ministering to people. Did you hear what I just said? You're ministering to the Lord, not to people. Now listen to me. That is one of the reasons I canceled soaking prayer here at the church. It turned from a focus on the Lord to a focus of ministering to people. That wasn't the purpose. Are you following me?
Yes.
There were some other issues going on. But that's one of the reasons. It kind of got outside of its purpose. Now, if you're at a prayer meeting like that and you feel like you need to minister to someone, take them out in the back. Take them in the war room, whatever. Take them outside. Take them to the woodshed, whatever you got to do. But don't bother things in here because we're ministering to the Lord in here. Amen? Our time of praise and worship here at LWC is a time to minister to the Lord, not other people. Unless I feel led by the Holy Spirit as the pastor, as the leader of the congregation here, to open it up for that. Are you following me? That's why I put the rule in place to leave people alone during that personal and intimate time with the Lord so they can focus on Him. Are you following me? The whole point of praise and worship is to minister to the Lord. Okay? When ministering to the Lord, He should have our complete focus and attention. What I'm really trying to do as the pastor here is when I put rules in place like that, I'm trying to protect and increase the corporate anointing in our gatherings so people can have the best and most profitable spiritual encounters and experiences with the Holy Spirit as possible. That's all I'm trying to do. Amen? Go to Colossians 3:1. You hear my heart on that? Hallelujah. Yeah, oh, yay, all right. She hears, absolutely. I love it. Out of the mouth of babes. I love it. So good. She's adorable. Colossians 3, 1 through 2, we probably haven't been there in a while. Wrong, we've been there the last four or five sermons. I'm taking you back to it. So just know my heart. When I put a rule in place about something, I'm not just being hard about it. I'm not being, oh, Pastor James isn't spiritual. No, I'm being very spiritual, actually. I'm putting it into place for a reason so people can have the best experience here at Living Waters Chapel with the Lord. Amen. Colossians 3, 1 through 2, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. Okay, if we're going to minister to the Lord effectively, we must put this command into practice in our life. Ministering to the Lord begins with this, setting our mind, our thoughts on things above. It's got to be on Him, on His Word, on anything connected to the kingdom of God. You understand? Anything connected to the kingdom of God and on the Word of God is fair game. It's all connected to the Lord. Amen? So we must have a mind, a heart, and thoughts that are centered on God Himself. He must be our main focus. If He's not your main focus, you might as well just go do something else. You're wasting your time. You're not ministering to Him. Because how many of you like it when you're trying to talk to someone and their attention gets divided and they don't have your full attention? Does anybody like that? God doesn't either. Go do something else and come back later and try again.
Amen.
Go back. Go do something else. Remember, He is a person. Treat Him, respect Him, value Him as a person. He has a mind, will, and emotions. Every thought of ours, when you're ministering to the Lord, it must be heavenly focused, which is a spiritual mindset. All right? When you attend our prayer meetings and services, get your thoughts off of yourself. Get your thoughts off of yourself. Get your thoughts off of everything else and put them on the Lord. Amen? And on the kingdom of God. Don't interrupt people's focus with your revelation or prophetic word. Tell them after the prayer meeting. Amen? Tell them after the prayer. I'm all for prophetic words. I'm all for that great ministry stuff. But listen, let them minister to the Lord. Amen? When they skirt out to go to the bathroom, tackle them in the narthex. Say, I got a word for you. Right? But if they're in here, they're ministering to the Lord. Amen? The suddenly encounter with the Holy Spirit in the upper room happened because everyone was focused on and ministering to the Lord and not on each other. Oh, come on. Can you imagine if the upper room was just all about just ministering to the people, to each other? Yeah. Right? Hey, what? Here's the problem with that. When you start ministering to people, some people minister to people because it's a pride thing. I want you to see how spiritual I am. Ta-da! Now it makes you the center of attention. Yeah. Oh, this is good. Yep. It makes you the center of attention. The Holy Spirit in the Lord has to be the center of attention. Amen. He's got to be. Oh my, where am I? Now, in fact, listen to me. In fact, don't even think about your failures or faults at the prayer meetings. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Don't think about yourself. Here's my instruction to you. Before you come to our prayer meeting, repent before you get in here. Deal with it before you get in here. I don't want you to minister to other people. I don't want you ministering to yourself. I want you ministering to the Lord. Because that's what's going to bring breakthrough in this place. Before you come in here, make it a point. Lord, is there anything in my heart that I need to repent of? Is there anything that I need to let go of? Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Deal with it outside of the building. Amen? Ministering to the Lord creates the spiritual atmosphere of heaven on earth. Oh, ministering to the Lord. Why? What do you think is going on in heaven right now? All of our loved ones that are in heaven right now, what do you think they're doing right now? Do you think they're ministering to each other? Hey, Rabba Shato, Rabba Da Da Da. Oh, sorry, Jesus, I'll be right with you. Oh, Rabba Da Da Da. No, no, no. They're falling on their knees.
Right. Amen.
In the presence of God.
Amen.
To the Lord Jesus Christ. They're ministering to the Lord. In fact, there's angels, cherubim, that minister to the Lord. The 24 elders, 24/7, and they're crying out one thing. Holy, 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 holy. Ministering to the Lord creates the spiritual atmosphere of heaven on earth because you're participating, come on, in the activities of heaven on earth. Listen to this. The glory, the cloud of God's presence entered the temple as people were ministering to the Lord. My goodness, go to 2 Chronicles 5. Let me show you something here. 2 Chronicles 5. It draws heaven because you're participating in the activity of what's going on in heaven. Isn't that good? 2 Chronicles 5, 11 through 14. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves. They sanctified themselves before this event. Before you come in here, sanctify yourself. Oh, come on, somebody. Without keeping to their divisions. Oh, there was unity. Without keeping to their divisions. There was unity in the place. And the Levites who were the singers and those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. 120 priests brought in the glory. There was 120 people in the upper room that brought in the glory. How many we got here today, Silas? Oh, never mind. Okay. Listen. Verse 13. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeteers and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Listen to this. What happened? When there was that unity, they sanctified themselves before coming to church. Come on, somebody. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. That still happens today. That just isn't back for the Old Testament. That still happens today. That's what you're feeling in here. You're feeling the glory. Sure, maybe you don't see a real thick cloud. I still see. It's like foggy to me. I don't know about you. But something's happening. But that still happens today. I want you to notice, again, there was a unity, a harmony, or one accord. They were all individually praising and thanking the Lord at the same time. Did you hear what I said? They were all individually praising and thanking the Lord at the same time, corporately. They were individually and corporately ministering to the Lord, and it ushered in the glory cloud of God's presence. Nobody was focused on themselves or even ministering to other people. The focus was on God alone. That's spiritual maturity. That's true spiritual maturity right there. Folk being able to focus on God. Get your eyes off of self. Amen? Even get your eyes off of other people when it's not time to minister to them, to minister to the Lord. That's what it takes to usher in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit into Living Waters Chapel and this thumb region. What's so interesting about the glory of God, listen, is that it's accompanied by and it's ushered in by what the Bible calls living creatures. Say living creatures. Specifically, it talks about the cherubim. Cherubim are a form of a living creature or an angelic kind of a being, right? A spiritual being in the kingdom of God. When we minister to the Lord by praising him, by calling him holy, by exalting him, it attracts the living creatures of God. It attracts cherubim, which in turn ushers in the glory of God. Now listen to this. This gets very interesting. Cherubim, or living creatures, they constantly cry out, holy, holy, holy unto God. And I looked this up, I Googled this, and it spit this out at me. And this is very interesting. Ready? Cherubim are God's throne bearers and guardians. Listen. Of holy spaces or locations. Wow. Did you just hear what I said? So when every time we get together and pray, when we gather together with the word and praise and worship, and we have a holy gathering, and we're ministering to the Lord together, this place is turning into a holy space or a location. It's literally creating a holy portal in this building and on this property. Our praise, worship, prayers, faith-filled confessions from the Word of God. It creates that portal or a spiritual gate. Say gate. In that specific location where we are doing those holy actions. And it creates an open heaven. Say open heaven. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. He said, ministering to the Lord in praise and worship restores what was removed from the curse through Adam and Eve. Let me say that one more time. Ministering to the Lord in praise and worship restores what was removed from the curse through Adam and Eve. Go to Psalm 67. Let me show you something here. I'll show you what I'm talking about. What are you talking about? Well, let me show you. You mind if I go a few minutes past? It's 11:59. Time flies in the glory. Amen. All right, Psalm 67, 5 through 7. It says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then, say then, the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Ministering to the Lord in praise not only will bring a blessing back on you personally, but it will also release a blessing on the earth in specific locations where you're praising him. Did you catch that? Ministering to the Lord, it means to put his desires, his will, first place in our life. I'm going to try to speed it up here. Ministering to the Lord is to honor him with all your possessions and all that you have. Amen? With all that you are. Total surrender of yourself to him for his purposes and will. Real quick, go to Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. And it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Honoring the Lord, ministering to the Lord with all your possessions and your first fruits, it will get rid, come on, of the curse of poverty off your life. You following me? It'll get rid of the curse of poverty when you start honoring the Lord with everything that you have. Honoring the Lord with our possessions, with the first fruits of all of our increase, is a form of worship. Giving to the Lord is worship, and worship is ministering to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord advances the kingdom of God. It advances the will of God on this earth. First of all, ministering to the Lord advances the kingdom of God on the inside of us. And then it advances the kingdom of God around us or on the outside of us. The Word of God says that the kingdom of God is what? Within us. The kingdom of God must first have influence in us with righteousness, peace, and joy. It must prosper and advance in us as we mature in our walk with God. As it continues to change us, then we are able to advance the kingdom of God on the outside of us, around us, wherever we go. And the Word of God says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I love that. Amen? The changing process in us happens when we encounter the glory of God. The Word of God says that we are changed from glory to glory. That literally means by every time we experience his glory, his manifest presence in our life, it literally means we're being changed. We're being changed for the better. I'm being changed for the better every time I come here and linger in the presence of God. Amen? The glory of God is manifested around us when we minister to him. Do you see that progression? We minister to him. His glory manifests. Now it changes us on the inside. Now we can impact the outside around us. But it all begins with what? Ministering to the Lord. We minister to him. We need to minister to him. Now, it's supernatural. His presence, his glory changes us on the inside. And the entire process begins with ministering to the Lord. Now, listen to this. Speaking the word of God back to him is ministering to the Lord. Speaking his word back to him in faith is ministering to the Lord. For some reason, God likes when we speak his word back to him in faith. Why? Hebrews tells us. Because without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. Faith pleases God. So when we have faith in his word, it brings a joy to our Heavenly Father. I love that. Ministering to the Lord makes us more spiritually sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When we give our full attention to the Lord, when we value him and count him as important in our life, with our worship, with our praise, and in our time of prayer, when we ask, seek, and knock for the will of God to be done, we're ministering to the Lord. We're taking care of his needs before our needs, before each other's needs. Amen? When our mind is focused on God, we are creating a bridge between heaven and earth. When we allow the Holy Spirit to use our authority on this earth by our own free will, by praying in tongues, right? We're allowing him to use our authority. When we make commands, when the Holy Spirit leads us to make a command on something, the Holy Spirit's using our authority on this earth. That's ministering to the Lord. When we are interceding and we're connecting with the heart of God for someone and we're interceding, it's all about him, but it's changing lives. We're ministering to the Lord. When we say and truly believe, Lord, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, we're ministering to the Lord with a heart of willingness and obedience to him. We are, again, we are tending to his desires, his needs before ours or anybody else. Amen? Amen. Drawing near to the Lord is ministering to him. And then he draws near to us. How do you get God to move closer to you? You draw near to him first. You make the first move. Why? Because he's given us authority on this earth. He needs our invitation on earth for heaven to move on earth. Did you just hear what I said? Waiting on the Lord, soaking in his presence, is ministering to the Lord. Asking the Lord what he wants us to do. Where do you want us to go? That is ministering to the Lord. It means to be on call and ready to move into action when he tells you to do something. It's what the picture he gave me, it's like a waiter. It's like a waiter or a waitress at a restaurant. It always has that mindset of being on call. It's being on call for him, always ready to serve him, constantly checking in with our Heavenly Father to make sure. Come on, Lord, are you satisfied? Lord, are you satisfied? Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I where I'm supposed to be spiritually with you? Again, never make ministry to people a priority over ministering to the Lord first. We are kings and priests unto God as Christians, and ministering to the Lord is considered the first essential aspect of priesthood that strengthens believers to minister to others. If you want to hear that again, watch it on YouTube, and you can push pause. I got to get going here. In fact, it's impossible to effectively minister to others, again, without first ministering to the Lord first. Again, ministering to the Lord first will cause the Holy Spirit to give you direction in your life, direction in your ministry. It demonstrates your commitment. It demonstrates your seriousness to the Lord when you put him first. Reading and hearing the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God is ministering to the Lord. Our Father, our Heavenly Father loves it when you put value on his written word. He loves it. Ministering to the Lord helps to cleanse our heart and life of idols. You can't spend time in the presence of God and not feel a conviction about something you need to let go of in your life. If you don't feel that conviction, you ain't doing it right. You're not lingering long enough. Amen? If you truly are ministering to the Lord, you're an open book. You're meek. You're teachable. You're easily imposed upon to receive correction. And my last passage, my last scripture here, Psalm 139. Let me bring this on to final approach right now. Psalm 139. Hallelujah. Are you picking up the spirit and the heart of what I'm saying today, what the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to all of us? I'm teaching and preaching to myself as well. Amen? It's a message for me as well. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You see, self-reflection, when you're coming to him first, self-reflection can be a form of ministering to the Lord because you're asking him to reveal, heal, and lead you in the right path into his perfect plan. Again, it's about making him priority. Say self-reflection. Pouring your heart out to God is ministering to the Lord. You're being vulnerable. You're being vulnerable with him, and he loves. Listen to this. Our Heavenly Father loves and appreciates when we're honest with him. He loves it. Some people say, how did God use David so much? Man, that guy, he was a womanizer. He did all these things. He was honest with God. And he ran back to God when he made a mistake. Amen? That's not a reason to sin. But he was honest, and God wants honesty. Amen? It's all about him, seeking him in that self-reflection process. Because ultimately, you're not supposed to be like me. I'm not supposed to be like you. We're all supposed to be like who? Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It should be a God-centered life. Ministering to the Lord causes us to be connected to the true vine. You can't sit at the feet of Jesus with quality time and linger and not feel a connection to him. It is forming a connection with your heart in the heart of Jesus when you spend time with him. It's quality time. Being thankful and bringing him a sacrifice of praise is ministering to the Lord. Paul and Silas ministered to the Lord in a prison cell at the midnight hour, and it released a miracle in their life. They were praying. They were singing hymns and praising God. They weren't prophesying to each other. It was all about the Lord. They ministered to the Lord, even in a prison cell, in the place where they were sitting was shaken, and a miracle came. Ministering to the Lord in prayer and praise and worship creates that spiritual portal of breakthrough and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Moravian Falls, North Carolina. You ever heard of Moravian Falls? The Moravian Church in North Carolina, years ago, they prayed 24/7. They had prayer meetings 24/7 for over 100 years. And it opened a portal over that city. People go in there and say they see angels all the time. They see major spiritual things. Moravian Falls, North Carolina. I want to go there sometime, all right? Many say they see powerful things. And many, see, that's what prayer does. That's what, really, let's break it down, ministering to the Lord. They ministered to the Lord over 100 years, 24/7. And it released power. I love that. Ministering to the Lord creates an open heaven over your life personally in physical locations. And I'm just a half page, people. Sit tight. Hold on. Can you do it? Linger with me a little bit longer. Ministering to the Lord will cause miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest and take place in our life personally and in our corporate worship as well. Church, there it is. There's the dinner bell. Oh, yes. Woo! Church, here we go. Church, what I really wanted to drive home in your heart today is that the first and most important thing we can do as Christians is to minister to the Lord. Our relationship with him must be the number one priority even before ministering to other people. It's no wonder that those that are in the fivefold ministry gifts are told to give themselves to prayer. Because to minister to the Lord first and foremost, that will make us effective in ministry. Everything good and profitable in our life, spiritually and physically, always begins, number one, with ministering to the Lord first. As we individually and corporately press in and move closer to this supernatural outpouring in this church and in this region, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Always keep this in mind, that we must be like Mary, that avoided every distraction and focused on Jesus and sat at his feet. From this point on in your life, we can learn that lesson, come on, the easy way or the hard way. It's your choice. For me, I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen? And minister to the Lord. Let's stand up in this place, ministering to the Lord. Prayer team, come on forward. Now, maybe you're in this place. You never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You need to do it today. You're feeling that tug. You feel the presence of God in here. You feel it. Don't waste an opportunity, because you might not have another opportunity in the future. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, run down to this altar right now in front of one of these prayer team members and say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Now, maybe this message really hit you hard. And you said, you know what? I have not been ministering to the Lord like I should. I've been ministering to myself. I've been ministering to others. But I've been forsaking ministering to the Lord. If that's you, I want you to run down to this altar and say, this message touched me. Pray for me today. I'm changing today. I'm going to be a Mary. Come on. And I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. If you're backslidden, you really need to run down and say, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord right now. Because you don't know when you take your last breath, right? We don't want to play spiritual Russian roulette with our soul. Amen. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They will pray with you to receive that powerful experience that will change your life. Also, if you need prayer for anything else, come on down. We have the business meeting next Sunday, right after service. We're going to have lunch and then the business meeting. And that's intentional, so you stay. No, we're having the meeting. We're having the meeting first. Sorry, the other way. Hey, reverse that, right? We're going to have the meeting first, then we're going to eat, all right? And then, what else was there? There was something else. Justified Quartet will be here, what? The 28th. So Saturday the 28th at 6 p.m., I believe. So, all right, love you all. I hope you got something out of this. Meditate on it and go minister to the Lord. Get out of here. Love you all. God bless you.